Everybody, it's Dean. Welcome to our Money Making Websites Academy call for October. Now, the year is coming to a close. I'm very excited and already planning for next year, as I'm sure a lot of you guys are. One of the things that I'm really focusing on and doing this with our mastermind group and with a lot of the people that I'm talking with is kind of focusing right now on setting the stage for next year for you, for really getting systems in place to make the most of what I think is the biggest leverage opportunity that we have, which is your active listings, the listings that you have that are already on the market, or the new listings that you're getting, and using them as a way to really maximize what you're doing to find buyers. We're finding now that there's lots of cool new things happening just as things are changing with Craigslist. We used to be able to run great just lead generating ads on Craigslist and have people go to a website and opt in. And now, of course, things have changed with Craigslist with the way that they do that, and its focus is on selling listings, which is fine. So I've got some ideas that we're working on using Craigslist in a new way. And so I want to kind of, today I want you to start thinking about some of the listings that you have, because I'm going to open it up here in a little bit, and I want to brainstorm with some of you some approaches for getting, for maximizing your, that listing, how we can work to find, hopefully the buyer for that house, and if not the buyer, then a buyer that buys another house. So that, there's lots of opportunity there. And we've been talking about the every chance that you get, every new listing that you take comes along with an opportunity to get not just that listing side of the commission when the property sells, but to get four additional commissions for finding the buyer for that house, for finding a buyer who buys another house, but not necessarily that one, for getting the next listing in that neighborhood and getting a referral from the seller. So, we've gone through this idea of sharing, starting with a checklist, looking back over your last 10 listings and seeing what your score out of 50 would be if you had a little matrix. How many times did you find the buyer? How many times did you find another buyer? And so all of that stuff adds up. And when we're doing the initial work on all of this, working with the InfoBox flyers and the just listed cards and all of that, we were able to get with Julie Matthews up to 50% of the time. 14 of the 28 listings that we took were sold with in-house, so sold found double-ended, finding the buyer for those. And so some of the simple strategies, I bumped up to the top of our Facebook group. I bumped up to the top the InfoBox flyer that we were using, the back being the lead generator for sending people to the website and sending people to your getting listings site to find buyers and to generate seller leads, which all of that worked to do that excellently. And so we have that template there for you on, and it's on the daily dashboard. But I want to kind of get a sense for you of systemizing what you're doing with your listings. And so some of the strategies, when we start talking individually about the strategies of what are we doing to address our desire to find the buyer for that house, and what are we doing, with some of the key opportunities that we have there. So, the first opportunity is prior to getting the listing, we've got an opportunity to send information or send out a quick email or include it in your market watch about everybody that you're going out to see about selling their house, which, you know, is just a good strategy. So if you've got something that, if you've got a listing that you're going out to see, if you can set up a system so that every time you send out your MarketWatch email every week, that you think before you send it out about who am I going to see in the next 7 days about selling their house, so that I can include that in the body of the message that I'm sending to people, or in the PS, so you can tell them, you know, just kind of a general idea of the area or a lakefront home or whatever would be kind of descriptive of what you're going out to see, and encouraging people to leave, to just reply to the message if they'd like you to get them all the details about that house. So that's kind of a nice way to, prior to going in to see a seller, to have something different than what most people have when they're going in to see a seller. You know, they're, most of them are talking about, here's everything that we're going to do from the moment, once we list your house, we'll do this, 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 and this. Here's our marketing plan. And the distinction, the difference that you have is that your marketing plan for their house started 180 days ago, because that's the general, that's pretty much the sweet spot of how long people start looking before they're actually ready to buy. So all of the people that came into your GetResponse account, all the people that came to your website that you have an email for, that you've been communicating with every week, that's an asset that no other agent who's going in to see them has. So if you can go into somebody and you're saying, here's a list of people who I sent information just in a general sense about your house, and these are people that would love for me to send them information about your house as soon as I get all the details. So you've already got the deck kind of stacked in your favor, because you may have 3 or 5 or 10 people who have said, oh yeah, send me the details about that. So that is kind of one thing that often you may be able to find the buyer for that house before you even put on the market, but knowing that you're going to sacrifice maybe the other opportunities that you have by fully putting the house on the market. So they're just thinking through all of the things that you can systemize. That's certainly one of them, is the pre-listing email to your MarketWatch list. Now, once you get that listing, there's some things that we have the opportunity to do that are going to kind of make it easier for you to find buyers. And I say buyers is not just people who are going to buy that house, but people who are maybe going to buy other houses. But in order to do it, we kind of have to think it through in a strategic kind of way, rather than just putting up the sign and putting it in the MLS and getting all happy when somebody calls up and shows it and sells it right away. I mean, we celebrate because, yeah, we got that one sold and we're going to be getting that listing commission, but what we've missed out on is a lot of that other opportunity. So I want you to be able to maximize those things every chance that we get. Now, you know, it's important now that we've got the baseline things right. I mean, if you look at what makes a property attractive, you know, you've got it priced right. That's kind of, you know, the baseline entry thing, that it's staged and it's clean and that you've photographed it well and it's presented in its best light, so that we're showing everything in the best possible way that we can. We can't do anything about the location. We can't do anything about what type of house it is or the age of the house or anything like that. So we want to maybe turn those into advantage whenever we can. Or if we can't, then we want to tell the truth about those. Now, I've talked about this maybe a few other times. I posted up on our Facebook group a couple of listing postcards and flyers that we used that I started calling them truth ads, because the idea that I got these from was when I read Jerry Spence's book, How to Argue and Win Every Time. And one of the things that was most impactful to me about that book was that he talked about the importance and the power of just telling the truth, that the truth is sometimes the exciting thing. You know, so rather than trying to position something so that we look good, and I say we, I mean that our natural tendency is that when we're writing the script or the story for ourselves, we like to be the hero. You know, everybody likes to be the winner, and so we're going to shade things in the best possible light that's going to make us look the best. And now I say that because there's the same opportunity with sellers when they're selling their property. You know, I have a book called 20 Master Plots, and it's a book about movies. And the premise is that there are every movie ever made fits into one of these 20 basic master plots. And so it's, you know, if you think about the movies that are out right now, there's that movie, I think it's called This Is Where I Leave You, that's out right now. It's like the family gathering. Everybody comes to the table. It's the dysfunctional family. They're trapped for the weekend, and this is the, you know, hilarity ensues. That's kind of one master plot. Or things that, you know, there's some movies that have a ticking timeline. You know, you've got to beat the clock in this movie. That we've got to get, you know, the hero has to overcome something, and the clock is ticking, and they've got to, you know, beat the deadline. They've got to get to, they've got to, you know, solve the problem, and the clock is ticking, and that creates the stress. Or the road trip movie, you know, where we're going from here to there. If you saw Identity Thief or some, you know, movies like that where it's like this road trip, that kind of thing is another master plot. And when you have this kind of 3D glasses when you're looking at movies, it's pretty interesting. So I was thinking about that same thing for our for sellers. You know, every time somebody's selling their house, there is a story being told. And there are winning stories and losing stories. And so you hear them all the time. You know, you hear stories like, well, we don't have to sell. That's a common story that people tell. And it's not a winning story. It's often the losing story. Or we're not giving it away. That's a story that people have. Or we've put a lot into this. If they want it, they're going to give us our price. That's a story that is kind of like a thing. And as you're thinking about the listings that you have right now, there's probably, you're probably noticing or thinking about what some of those stories are. And so I started experimenting with creating what I called, you know, winning stories here, is often the story where the buyer gets to be the hero. So it requires taking and putting your ego aside a little bit, or the seller's ego, but doing it in a way that ultimately they're going to win. You know, the great Zig Ziglar once said that you could get anything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And once you realize that everybody is self-absorbed, everybody is constantly and only thinking of themselves, if you can now shape your story in a way that's going to make them look like the winner, give them a great story to tell. And, you know, you may think, well, are there really stories that people are telling in real estate, and why is that important? You know, it's every buyer who buys a property, they're not just buying it for themselves. You're thinking about the story that they have to tell their stakeholders, their parents, their siblings, their friends, the backseat drivers, Uncle Leo, who's, you know, the wise one of the family, that everybody has to kind of go to Uncle Leo and get his approval. Somebody's involved in that decision, psychically or otherwise. So to have them be able to tell the story that makes them look good lets down that analytical guard. It goes right to the part where they're satisfied that they're going to look like a winner and they're not as focused on the price. Now, it's kind of, I've used this, I don't know how many times I've used this now, but I'm going to share with you just the two examples that I have, the kind of the first few that I did. So the very first one was with a developer who lived in Toronto when, this was in 1996 when I read that Jerry Spence book. It's amazing how it still works today, and I'm going to show you how to take this and use what's available today to really amplify this. So Don Naylor, he came to me, and we had lunch on Labor Day, the day after Labor Day in 1996, and he had these home sites that were in a development in Muskoka, which is outside of the city. It's a couple hours away, lakefront properties, all the it's cottage country where everybody goes to get away for the weekends. And so the summer is the season there, and he had been running big, you know, blowout ads that were, you know, 30% off and, you know, all these things trying to get rid of these last lots. And Labor Day, he was a little bit concerned. He was bummed because he knew that now he probably wasn't going to be able to sell them. So I was talking about it with him, and he was telling me the story. And I said, well, let me try something with you here. Let's tell that story. But we have to have the truth, and we have to have a some compelling evidence for it. So the headline that we wrote was, I need to sell these last six Muskoka home sites in the next 30 days, and I'm willing to sell them for 33% below their current, and we put in brackets, September 96, appraised value. Now, that right there, we're telling the story. It's not just saying 30% off, you know, whatever somebody sees, even in retail, you know yourself, when you have a big blowout sale, 50% off, 70% off, the suspicion is that they've marked up the price and then reduced it. So it's not 50% off what a realistic price was, but 50% off of what their hyped up price was. So whenever you can be specific with something like real estate that has an appraised value, that is like the authority, right? So if we say, I had him get them appraised, and he said he was willing to sell them for 33% below their appraised value. So we had him get them appraised so we could have the most current, up-to-date appraisal, and then we just told the story. You know, my name is Don Naylor. I'm a longtime resident and real estate developer here in Muskoka. My family's had a home here since 1956. I've been gradually developing a 300-acre property here in Huntsville for the last 15 years, and I have only six lots left. I was really hoping to sell them before the end of the summer so I could use the money to make a balloon payment on another property in the city. So we're telling the story that's the truthful thing, the reason why, this is why I'm willing to sell them for below, and here's my dilemma. I need to use the money from these last six lots to make the balloon payment, and if I'm going to do it, I have to make the payment on or before November 1st. Now that it's Labor Day, in order to make that deadline, I need to sell these six lots in the next 30 days, so I'm willing to sell them for 33% below their current appraised value. Then we went on and just described the lots. They range in size from 2 to 8 acres. The prices are 33% below their current appraised market value. I've had each one of the lots appraised this week, and if you call my office voicemail, I'll send you an information package with a copy of the appraisal certificates, a survey of the lots, and a detailed map of how to get there. I'm going to be available on-site at these lots this weekend and next on Saturday and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. sharp to walk through the property and answer any questions you have. So we ran that ad in the Toronto Sun, which is one of the local Toronto papers, and we sold all six of those lots in those two weekends. So it was the power of just telling the truth on that. Then I did this again with a townhouse listing that I had. And, you know, telling the whole story. We need to sell our Kings Mill townhouse this weekend, and we're willing to sell it for $5,000 below current market value. Telling the whole story, and here's our dilemma, describing the house, telling people what to do. So that formula there with just these two, now we've done, you know, dozens of other examples of using this, and it always works. So what I would encourage, and what I really am anxious to try, is to maybe walk through with some of you creating and crafting the story of one of your current listings so that we can maybe create a cool story like that, create one of these stories. And what I think is going to be powerful for us now is that we can use situations like this, we can use this on Facebook, or we can use this in Craigslist, because we're talking specifically about a listing. So I've been trying to think about how we can stay within the parameters of Craigslist here, and I think doing this is going to be a great way to differentiate. And of course, we can send people to your 24-hour house tours page for the individual listings that you have. But that kind of thing, I think, is going to be a really powerful strategy as part of our part of the mix of how you're going to tell the story. And so getting the story right is going to be about discovering what's the real motivation. Like, so winning stories, I talked about losing stories being, you know, we're not giving it away, we don't have to sell, we put a lot into it, if they want it, they're going to have to pay our price, or the house down the street sold for more or sold for this and ours is nicer. Those aren't winning stories. Those are ego-protecting stories that are kind of posturing to make the sellers look like the winners. Now, if we really strip all that away and the numbers tell themselves, right? Market value is market value, and the story is a way of getting somebody's guard down to where they can emotionally get committed to buying a property before the analytical part of it takes over. So as long as people feel that they're safe, that they're not going to have to tell Uncle Leo, well, they didn't have to sell, so we really had to pay, top dollar for that house. You know, that's not a story that anybody's looking forward to telling their Uncle Leo or telling their friends. But if we can tell a story that is going to make them look good, a story, you know, some of the winning stories might be the, we're transferred and we need to be in Poughkeepsie by November 1st. That's a winning story. Or we found our dream home and we've put in an offer and we need to sell our house so that we can move on to that one. Or we're having a third baby and we've got a two-bedroom house. We need more room. We're busting at the seams. Or, any of those kind of things that are sort of the real motivation or downsizing. You know, we raised our family. Everybody's out of the house now. We're rambling around in this big old house. It's been great to us. And now it's time for us to move on. those are the kind of stories that are engaging, that we can kind of tell in a in a nice way, in a storytelling kind of way, and get some get that story out there and get some interest using all of the direct response things that we're already using things like our InfoBox flyer and using Craigslist ads and using Facebook or using public notice flyers. There's so many ways to get this out there that we could use as a letter or email or Facebook message that the sellers send to their local friends or send to the neighbors, all the different ways that we can tell it. So two things that I would love to talk about, and we'll use your listings as examples. We can kind of brainstorm some of these. So if you've got a current listing in mind that you'd maybe like to brainstorm some strategies on how we can get as many of those five opportunities as we can, just press *6 on your phone. And what I'd love to talk about is maybe we could talk about one of your sellers and how we can maximize that to find some buyers. But I'd also like to hear what your current system is, what you're using now, what you're doing to focus on finding buyers for that listing, whether, you know, finding the buyer yourself or finding another buyer who's going to buy something else, and what you're doing to get communicating with the neighbors so that when that listing is sold, that you're able to get the next listing. And then what we're doing to communicate with the sellers to get them involved and maybe get a referral before the transaction ends. So *6 on your phone. Don't be shy. I really want to just kind of brainstorm some of these with you. So here's our first right here.
Mr. Jackson, Mr. Kolakowski.
There he is. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Good. We've been talking about this for a while, so I'm excited to hear what's going on.
Well, did all the things that you and I had talked about in terms of pre-marketing, mm-hmm. which was going to the neighborhood the day before, offering to do a neighbors-only open house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an hour before the regular open house, and that worked well.
So when you say that worked well, what happened? That was an insight. We had. I'll just share the backstory on this, Dave. That one of the things we had talked about that a couple of people have been doing really well. Carlos Sconza in Toronto have been doing agent our neighbor open houses on an evening before the open house, and Dave had a great idea of doing it an hour earlier than your public open house. And so Dave went back after our last meeting, and so you went out. What did you do and what happened?
Well, essentially, I went to the 50 closest houses, and went door knocking, and mm-hmm. I would say that I probably only talked to about 10 out of those 50. But what I was doing was taking the flyer mm-hmm. for the house, as well as the information about that it was just listed, the kind of direct response card that I had sent out. And just followed up and just said, look, we're having this, pardon me, this neighbor open house an hour before. We'd really love you to come by and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so surprisingly, only talked to 10, but ended up having 20 people show up. And I did that the door knocking the day before on a Saturday, and on a Sunday got that kind of response. So it was a great little database of it. And
yeah, nice.
The house actually went under contract very quickly, and we'd gone through and gotten through all of the inspections and had literally signed off on the last contingency, so there were no other recourses for the seller to walk away. And 2 days later, the agent, buyer's agent, called me and said they've had a change of heart and they don't want to buy the house.
Hmm.
So they were legally bound, you know, but again, and they ended up giving up their earnest money deposit to walk away because they just had other things that they wanted to do. And they never got the complete story on what those other things were.
Right.
But now, because it had been under contract and my client was trying to move closer to her work, she has a, she's a single mom with a, you know, a toddler daughter. She went ahead and moved. She got out of the house. We took all the staging out of the house. And so the house was now vacant in anticipation that we were moving forward.
Right.
And so now all of a sudden we're back on the market and at a time of the year when things are slowing down, not speeding up. And so there's my story that I need to get out.
Okay, now that sounds like a winning story right there. How much of the earnest money deposit did they get?
$5,000.
Okay, so they've got and what's the list price?
It's $365,000.
What did it sell? What did they have it under contract for?
We had it under contract for $365,000.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, and so that was. I think that's pretty much a winning story here, you know. Have you thought about how this could frame into that situation? Did they already find another house? They're already in it, or they're...
Yeah, they decided to move closer to where her new work was. They're actually renting. They're actually renting there because they want to be familiar before they buy there. It was about she'd taken a job probably about an hour during rush hour, about an hour's drive away, and so that was just too much to juggle with being a single mom, and so she decided she wanted to move, and there's, you know, so yes, there's certainly a story there. The question is to how to best leverage it.
Okay, great. So let's talk about the formula then here. So, you know, the formula that I've used is we need to sell our. How would you finish that sentence? I mean, is what's the neighborhood that would fit? Or,
well, it's a 5-bedroom Cape Cod, you know, classic, you know, tree lined streets, you know, sidewalks, that kind of thing. Great neighborhood.
So what would be the, but is it a neighborhood? I mean, is it Happy Valley? Is it, how would you describe where it is?
It's a neighborhood called Aspen Hill.
Okay, so there we go. So we need to sell our Aspen Hill home. We need to sell our Aspen Hill home. Okay, and when would you say, like, is it, you know, is it in the next 30 days or?
You know, we were planning on settling at the end of October. It was going to be a very quick settlement, and so yes, the sooner the better.
Okay, and was the property? It was listed at 365, and it sold for 365, so there was no, there was nothing, it wasn't like it was listed at 379 or whatever, and they sold it for 365.
No, I mean, the comparables actually would have justified a price of $10,000 to $15,000 more, but she wanted
so
to...
There's an interesting thing. Okay, so if we look at, this is following the Kingsmill townhouse model here. So when I was, when we were doing this one, you could say that the comps would support, you know, 175 or 179, right? And this is what we did with the Kings Mill townhouse one. So we did that. We need to sell our Kings Mill townhouse this weekend, and we're willing to sell it for $5,000 below current market value. So you could say that same thing. We need to sell our Aston Hill home in the next 30 days, and we're willing to sell it for $15,000 below current market value.
Right.
If you're saying that that's what the comps could show. And then this is how we wove that in the story here. So my name is Tim Alberts. My wife and I lived in Georgetown for 3 years now, and it's always been our dream to get a house in the country. Well, last weekend, we found the house of our dreams, and we made an offer to buy it. Here's our dilemma. We had to make our offer conditional on selling our Kings Mill townhouse, and we only have 2 weeks to get it sold. We have a beautiful Holly model with a finished walkout basement and a big deck off the kitchen where we sit and watch the sunset over the escarpment. My wife is a bit of a perfectionist, and our townhome is immaculate. If we had more time, we would be asking $147,900, and it would probably sell for $145,000. I know this because the last two Holly models sold for $142,500 and $142,000, but they didn't have finished basements or a deck. Anyway, that's what we'd do if we had more time, but we don't. We need to sell our house this weekend, and that's why we decided to sell it for $139,900, so we can be sure to sell it in time to get the house we really want. We're having an open house this Sunday at 2 p.m. sharp, and we'll be accepting offers on Sunday night after the open house. Our real estate agent has set up a recorded message with all the details about our house and directions on how to get here. You just need to call and have the phone number there, or if you'd like to see it after the open house, you can call our real estate agent. His name is Dean Jackson, and he's with Royal LePage at 905. To be fair to everyone, though, we've agreed not to show the townhouse before Sunday. So we did that, and we had that open house on that Sunday, and the townhouse actually sold for $146,000. We had, you know, 16 or 18 people come through the house, and we had two offers and sold the house for $146,000. And so that kind of thing, when they're surrounded by, I mean, you know, what you don't see in that picture there is that that's one of the biggest townhouse developments. There are 180 units in that one complex, right? So there were lots of other ones for sale that had been for sale, lots of other comparable units. There are only so many models of that, but this one we got sold quickly because of the story. You know, that gets out there. We're creating that kind of a thing. So I think if we had this, we need to sell our Aston Hill home in the next 30 days, and we're willing to sell it for, you know, whatever we can.
Whatever dollar amount less. You know, the model is really good.
We can support if it's, you know, $12,000 or $15,000 below its current market value. And when we're saying current market value, we're talking about what the comps are indicating right now. We're not saying appraised value. Now, when you did the appraisal for getting the buyers under contract there, did they just do the appraisal to approve the purchase price, or did they do an appraisal to show that the value is actually more?
Well, again, the lender pulls that, and you know they haven't followed up with that to see what happened. I will check to see if that's available, and that might be a good indicator as well.
Yeah, and so there's the thing is if you can get, you know, there's nothing like getting, you know, the appraised value. If you could literally say $10,000 or $15,000 below its current appraised value, that's more powerful than its current market value. But you can still use the below the current market value if you say, if we had more time, we would put it on the market for $179,000 or $379,000, and we would probably sell for $375,000 and talk about some of the other ones, the other Cape Cods or whatever, that are comparable size that had sold.
Okay, so once you have this together, I don't know if this is something you're planning on talking about anyway. It's how to disseminate that. And And Facebook sounds like a great way to do it.
I was just going to say that. You know how now the trend on Facebook is all these public, all these like pulling at your heartstrings things, right? Like, wait till you see what happens when this kitten meets this puppy, or, you know, all these kind of like things that are just human interest kind of stories, you know? And so we did what I started doing with the additional ones of these, and I didn't think to keep the copies of them, but we did one in Ottawa, and I had the other style that I was using when doing the pictures was not just picturing the house like a real estate story, but picturing the family like a lifestyle story out in front of the house with the house in the background. So it had the for sale sign and the I did this with Alan Kearns and Yvonne. So it was, there was a picture of Alan and Yvonne and their two kids out in front of the house by the for sale sign with the full house, but the house was like in the background. They were in the foreground. And it was that same model. You know, we need to sell our Kanata townhouse this weekend, and we're willing to sell it for $5,000 below current market value. I mean, it was the same story, but right, their, you know, their situation was a little bit different. I did this, you know, with that model in a lot of different scenarios.
The question again is the medium, but it sounds like Facebook could be a really good, very
and
targeted
Facebook
way.
Facebook would be one. Yeah, Facebook would certainly be a great place for that. You know, now what I might also do is format that as a letter and include a picture of the house, like a actual, you know, like a photo print of the house, and have that letter to the 50 neighbors, you know, like lay
right
that out as a letter format, not as a postcard format. Or you could just do it as a postcard format and deliver it to the, you know, to those people as well.
Okay.
And
sounds
then the
good
same thing, I think we could use this same format in Craigslist and do the long, you know, just tell that whole story just the way it is there with the picture of the house in Craigslist because it's a specific property.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, we'll work on that this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think that's fantastic. So email me that. Let's work on that together, and we'll post up the progress here in the Facebook group. I think that's going to be a good. I think this will be a good example here because you really do have a pretty cool story there.
All right, good. Thank you, Dean.
Awesome. Thanks.
Hey, Dean.
Hi.
Hey, it's Debbie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Good. Okay. I have a unique situation wherein I have a property, it's Angola on the lake, and so it's not actually on the lake, but it's beach side. Anyway, it's an estate. So one part of the family has the real estate, and then another part of the family has the content. Well, finally, it takes a little while. It's been on the market 4 months.
Hey, Deb,
they,
I'm having a
yes
little bit of a hard time hearing you. Are you? Can you, like, get closer to the phone or something?
Let me try this. Is this better?
Yeah, it is.
Is that better? Okay.
Yeah, it was just really faint. Okay.
Oh. Okay, so the property just got vacant, and the reason why I'm excited about that is that it was there was so much in this house. It was very eclectic, and it was just packed
mm-hmm
with items in it. But
yeah,
there are two different people that were trying that I had to deal with in order to sell it. But now it's free and clear. It's vacant. It's ready for somebody to go in. But now it's after season.
Okay.
So where people are really closing down and then moving, you know, away from the beach.
Yeah.
Now it's empty and ready to be moved into.
Right. Okay.
So and then I have I just lowered the price. It was at $299. It's now down to $279.
Uh-huh.
I know
and
that they would like to be $274.
Yeah, what is it actually worth, do you think? Like, would it be appraised for? What could you support market value-wise?
It's such a unique house that it doesn't – it's so hard to pull a comp on it because it literally has three kitchens, three bathrooms. It could be an in-law setup or a two-unit. You just have to close off one of the doors. Three-car garage, but in the garage, there's a kitchen and a bathroom with a shower, you know, and it's got a cabana room. It's just such a – but what I could come up with, if it had a basement, it would be right around $379.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little dated and so on. And but like I said, it's such an unusual house. That's why we have it at $274.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're saying – so I think part of the thing that you look for when you're trying to, like, build your case for the price. Like, are there homes that are similar size that are selling for more? Is there, you know, what's the star of the, what's the winning attribute of the house or the, you know, the comparable deal kind of thing? Because a lot of people have homes with basements and they never go down there anyway. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would think the star feature of the house is that you're beachfront or beachside. Mm-hmm. You know, you have two accesses to the beach. And you're asking me comparable homes there. There's really nothing. I mean, I had to go all the way up to Lake Ontario, you know, and that's 75 miles away
mm-hmm.
to even get something kind of close to it. It's just that unique. I'll have a hard time getting it appraised.
Oh, you will.
Yeah.
So, what are there other homes for sale right now? Like, what would be, you know, is it? Can you say like this $299,000 beach house in an area of, you know, $399,000 beach houses? I mean, what's the? What would be the? Is it a fixer upper? Is it like? Is it You
well,
know,
and it definitely needs update.
Is it ready to go? Is it, what do you
it's
think?
It's ready to go, ready to move into yesterday.
Okay, so I don't, if I'm coming in there, I'm not going to have to, like, update it and do, you know, I'm not going to have to, like, completely renovate and bring it into this century and all that kind of stuff. Or am I?
Parts of it. It's got well, it's really, I'm telling you, it's so very unusual. There's two master baths right next to each other.
Yeah. Unusual,
you know, and one of them is
probably,
brown
yeah.
marble.
Unusual isn't a winning vocabulary, probably.
I know.
Yeah, so let's get
well,
that
I use the word
vocabulary.
Unique in my advertising.
Unique
one
yeah.
of a kind.
Uh-huh. Is it, does it photograph well? Is it good looking?
It is better looking with some of the furnishings in there, so that's why it still has my marketing out there with the furnishings in there, because, you know, I tried desperately to get rid of certain pieces so I could photograph it without, but then when they came in, they cleared the whole house at one time.
What's the best feature about it?
Beachside. The best feature about it is beachside. The second best
is
feature
beachside?
Is that you side have an in-law apartment
language.
That could be a suite. The cabana room could be.
What do you mean by beachside? That sounds like weasel words in a way. It sounds like.
It is. It is. It's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I mean.
It's not right on the beach. It's not right on the beach. There's a house in between you and the beach.
Uh-huh.
But that's, I mean, it's right. And it's the quiet side of the beach. It's not where all the bars are and the activity is. It's on the quiet side of the beach.
Uh-huh. And so it's paces away from the beach kind of thing. It's a beach view. Is it, what's the...
Yeah. Yeah, you can see the water from the house on the deck.
Okay. Now, is there a is there an investment opportunity, like an income opportunity with it, that you could, you say it's like three, did I hear you say it was like three units or three?
No, it's a two, it could be a two unit. I'm sure with some modification you can even have a three unit, yeah. But it's all residential right there. It's a quiet little,
and so
nobody knows about
be,
area.
Yeah, could it be, you know, I'm looking for how we can create an angle there that could it be something that you could rent out for the season, like rent out one of the units or something? Is it a, is it the kind of place where it's a weekend place or is it a full-time residence?
It's a full-time residence.
Okay, so it's not in an area that's, it's not like in Cottage Country or anything like that.
Cottage Country is the right across the street from this. So
okay.
One, two,
no, but
three
I mean,
streets
this
away.
Lake is what I'm saying is do some of the neighbors, the people in that area, are they
no.
coming from
no.
other areas? This is, it is only like full-time residents, people who live
correct.
There. Okay, all right. And so what is it, would it be, like, is it a legal second unit or is it just like for in-laws or whatever? Could somebody like legally rent out one of the units?
No.
No. Okay. So it's just like a family. That would
yeah.
be the kind of thing, right? Like for in-law suites
yep.
or something like
yep.
that.
Yep.
Okay. So you got yourself a pretty unique property here, right?
Yep.
And, but there, but the, it's an estate sale, right?
Correct.
Okay. Which is, that's, so it has to be sold, and are there not, their egos not involved in that per se? Do they, is it free and clear, or do they have a mortgage on it, or? Like,
nope, it's all done. It's all cleared. From what I was told by the attorney, although there's been some, you know, he says one thing this week, and then the next week it's something different. So, but he told me that it's all free and clear.
Okay. And
but he also wants the house at 390, and I was like, I can't even get that.
Oh, at 390? Oh, and
that's what the attorney, and I, yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. So I think part of it is that, you know, you're going to have to paint this picture of how that value fits in, you know? Like, is it something where, you know, the other houses, like, you, there is, you will have to, you know, compare it to other things, right? Like
right.
what other things that people have the opportunity to do, you know? And is if it's the only, you know, one that would be like a two-family or, you know, two-unit or in-law suite or whatever, you know, at the beach, there's, that's kind of an advantage. You're kind of looking
there is,
for...
It is the only one in the area that has a separate or could be a separate unit for your in-laws or for your visiting guests.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so when you're saying, when I hear your, the language when you're saying could be, is it something that you would have to, like, you know, make some modifications to make it like that, or...
It was a cottage, and then they built an addition onto it. There was a doorway. You take three steps up, and then there's a doorway. If you cut that doorway off, it could be two separate homes that are connected.
Uh-huh.
You know, that would be the slight modification.
I gotcha. Okay. So I think I'm just thinking that's the that's part of it is telling that kind of getting that into the story because for the right people if they were looking for something with you know with that two family opportunity that's going to be appealing but is it also is it something that is not you know necessarily the thing would it be would it work as a you know, as one family wanting
yes.
to be by the
yes.
beach. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that might be
yeah.
more, that might be more people, right? Like, are you, you know, sometimes are we trying to, you know, grasp the, you know, at what is something appealing when, you know, maybe that you maybe downplay that and just happens to have another kitchen, you know, a second kitchen or whatever, you know, whatever is making that.
Well, I was even trying to market it to some of, you know, the professionals downtown as, you know, this could be your summer home where you could take the front part that I would consider an in-law or a teenager suite because it's got its own kitchen, it's got its own bathroom, it's got an island, a living room with a gas fireplace, and a small bedroom. Like, you could use that as your office at the beach. Like, just
mm-hmm.
take that section, you know. But this house was definitely built for entertainment. It's got, like, a three-level deck with a cooler hot tub and surrounded.
Oh.
And
how big is it?
The house is only 2,100 square feet,
uh-huh.
and it goes from street to street. So they,
uh-huh.
so you have, you know, Ainsworth, and then you have Wendt.
So it's a big lot, or?
It's a big lot for the area. Yep, yep. It goes from one side to the other.
Any chance to split it, or?
No. No.
No. So it's not that you can't cut it in half and have one on the other street and one on the other street.
No.
Okay. All right. So it seems like your estate sale is the thing that, you know, they'd been there for years and years?
Nope. No, it was
oh.
Her uncle who passed away and left
okay.
it. And then when his partner passed away this past year, that's when the real estate went to Sharon, and the contents.
But
went
I mean, how
to,
long had the uncle been in the house? Like, has it been in the family for years and years, or?
Oh, they've lived there forever. Everybody in the area know them.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's the thing. So that's all part of it. That's you know, now it's time. So if they've got that, some of the neighbors are probably going to be, you know, good to tell that story or to get that out there too. But I think I would focus on, you know, that it's a beach property and that it's focusing on the price relative to the other things, you know, because it doesn't have a basement. But what it does have is this, you know?
Right.
And so that whole thing, I think if you can support that, it would be, you know, more money. Like if you can say, you know, talking about the whole idea that it's in an area of, you know, much more expensive beach homes. I think that's going to.
Well, the only thing is with much more expensive beach homes, they're right on the beach. And the majority of them have been kind of like knocked down and rebuilt. And so they're a lot of them are state of the art now. And this one's a little dated compared to them, but there's nothing that's even like it. I mean, it's a ranch that splits from one side of the road to the other side of the road. And three-car garage with its own kitchen and bathroom in it. I mean, so then you don't have to walk through the house to take a shower when you get out of when you come from the beach. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like a challenging, just challenging.
Hey, there you go. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Sorry.
Oh, you didn't hear what I said?
No, I got cut off.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I was just saying, you know, that it's a ranch where a lot of the other houses there had been taken down and rebuilt, and
mm-hmm.
so they're more state-of-the-art, but they're right on the water. This one is
mm-hmm.
one street away. It's at the end of the street, and it goes from one street to the other, if that makes any sense to you. And
mm-hmm.
and it's a ranch, three-car garage with the shower and the bathroom in the garage, So if you're raining, you can party out in the garage, or you can come from the beach and take a shower out there, so then you don't have to track through the house.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. I think that's the thing, is that, you know, it is really the it's the thing for that beach lifestyle. I mean, does it has beach access, and is it the kind of thing where that's all part of it, that people are,
yes,
are,
yep,
actively out on the beach kind of thing?
Yep.
Okay. Then I think that you focus on that, and the fact that other homes in this area are more expensive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like it's the whole idea of getting a better priced, you know, the smaller best area kind of thing.
Okay. All right.
And
they are willing to sell it even cheaper than the $279. You know,
well,
they'd like $274 for it, so I can add that in there somehow.
I think that's the thing, but I think if you can build a case that it should be, you know, $299 or something, and
okay,
say that, you know, that if you're saying, remember, current market value is what a, you know, willing buyer will pay a willing seller, right? So if
right,
you're saying that we need to sell it, and we're willing to sell it for $25,000 below its current market value, and you're saying, you know, here's what the other options are, you know, actually houses like this that are on the beach are $400,000 or $450,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to build,
okay,
up that thing, that it's this gem that's in this great area that's got access to all the things, and it's got this, you know, bonus of having the you know, for your guests or for your in-laws or whatever, you know, not
right,
just not just painting it into it's a two-family home, you know.
Well, I'm thinking even with the cabana room, if you put a bathroom in the cabana room, I mean, it's its own separate building.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that could be another, you know, place for your friends to stay too. I don't know if you really want to rent
there
it out.
No, but I think it's the fact that it's that it's beach, that it must be sold, that we're you know, that we would have it on the market for more, and
okay,
that's the story.
Okay, I got it.
Try that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Try that, and let's develop it over the next little while here.
Okie doke.
You know, use that template. I put up the templates on the, you know, the story structure templates on the Facebook group. So look at those and see how you can tell your story in that way.
Okay. And then I'll put my idea on that and see what everybody thinks.
Absolutely, yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Dean.
You're very welcome, Deb. Okay, one more. Here we go. Hello. Who's calling from area code 209?
That's me, Dean.
That's you. Who's this?
Ron Tadillo.
Hey, Ron. There he is. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good.
Okay.
We're in our midst here. The only realtor that Barbara Corcoran recommends.
You saw that. Thanks.
I did. How's that working out?
You know, so far it's making me famous, not rich.
Ah, okay. I wondered about that. That's so funny. I love it.
See? We do pay attention.
Can you imagine if Barbara had, you know, if you could get Barbara to do that kind of thing with, you know, get a copy of Ron's free book, you know?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. Something to work on.
Mm-hmm.
But
cool.
You know what it does do is it creates conversations.
Sure.
So
hey,
that's the way
right
we looked at
TV.
It. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes you much more likable, much easier to, you know, we just call them slam dunk listings. You know, you walk in and they don't even question you or anything. It's just sign here. When I calculated the numbers, I had to do 2 deals per year extra to justify the whole thing.
Mm.
So it made sense on that.
I was looking at the getting listings stats last month, and you're three of the top 10 positions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for core activity on your the 24 hour house price site.
Yeah, very cool. So yeah, we just sent out five neighborhoods.
Mhm.
So yeah, very cool.
Well,
yeah.
Three of them are in the top 10.
That's awesome to hear. Yeah. now we just got to convert them.
Yes, exactly.
And you've always taught conversion's the hardest, right?
That's right.
Okay, I think you hit a hot topic, obviously.
Yeah.
And I just picked up a listing from an 86-year-old lady who was 2 days from closing, and the deal fell through.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and she's going to go to her, to one of her kids so they could take care of her. And she is struggling now because, she pretty much moved out.
Yeah.
And now she's...
situation as Dave was just describing.
Exactly. So the question I have for you is, I'm taking a lot of what you did with Dave, the coaching you did with him, but how can we, because you talked about Craigslist and you talked about Facebook, but we didn't talk about maybe Zillow or Trulia.
Yeah, now those are arenas that I'm not as involved with. So, I'd love to hear how you could adapt something like this for Zillow and Trulia.
I'm calling you for advice.
Yeah, right. are you using, do you use those platforms?
I do. I do use both of them. What I was thinking maybe, now that you're throwing it back on me like a psychologist, is maybe taking that, because I think we can change. I've heard people doing this now where they have a set of photos for their MLS, then they have a set of photos for Zillow and Trulia, and they brand them.
Okay.
Maybe that might work.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just throw that in there, so when people are going through, they kind of read the story.
Do you have a special environment for Trulia, or do you send them to your specific page? How do you optimize what you're doing on Trulia?
I haven't, but I've heard others doing it. So I think I can go into the back end of Zillow and Trulia for my stuff, and I could probably change some photos around if I need to. Because I've heard some people uploading photos. Like in MLS, you can't put your phone number or your logo
right.
on it.
Yeah.
But I've heard some people going through the back end of Zillow and Trulia and putting their phone number and their logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's spread out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if I can even add this to be maybe the front page of it. And just to get someone's attention.
That's
like,
what I'm
hey,
wondering I've... is, can you control the environment? How much control over the environment do you have, or is it just the pictures and the, standard formatting?
I think we might be able to control the environment a little bit. That's the reason why I was calling is I thought maybe you had some insight into that. If not, I definitely want to do the research to see if we can do it.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. I would like to know that too, so... Not a lot of the people that I've been talking with are using those actively, proactively.
Okay.
So it would be good to see, if we can control that environment. That's why I'm always a student of how, studying the environment and seeing what the opportunities are, what we can control, and how to engineer the best outcome that we can,
Mm-hmm.
Like if the best outcome that we can hope for from the Trulia stuff is a phone call, or can we direct people to a specific landing page, or can we, get phone calls or direct them to email us? What's the response mechanism that we can use?
I don't know. I'm open to be a student tester with you. You tell me. I'm more than happy to open that up because I would like to maximize that as much as possible also. I know Zillow had a big conference yesterday in Vegas, you know, with a lot of agents and you know, and how to maximize them. I guess what Zillow's big push is how do they get the top players on board? Because it's a win for everybody. You know, like they just want to work with the top players because of the listings that they control.
Well, it's interesting how, you know, I found it very interesting that somebody that somebody would, you know, look at the way that they're approaching. Remember, there was the big headlines when they bought Trulia that they're, you know, going to drive 80% of the realtors out of the business kind of thing, you know. It
uh-huh.
seems like such a crazy message to have out there that, you know, it's like just we're going to drive our customers out of business, you know. It just seems so ridiculous, you know.
Well, but, you know, we've talked about the 80-20 rule anyway. I mean, 80% of the people aren't doing the business anyway. It's really the 20, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't take much to push them out. It seems like they come in pretty easily when the market gets hot. But, like, in my area, we're slowing down significantly. I actually started making a huge push about 8-9 months ago to not work so much on the listing side of it. But on the buyer side, because I think the listings are going to become so easy, but if I don't have the buyers, I'm done. And it's,
mm-hmm.
you know,
buyers are
you
the
know,
catalyst, for sure.
Yeah, and I've always, you know, people always ask me why I named my company Home Buyers Realty, because what does every seller want?
Mm-hmm. That's what they want, exactly.
Yeah, these are all things that you can tell you're influencing my life, Rare.
I love it.
And then one other thing I was going to ask you, I can't find, I used to run, and I know it's a Dean Jackson ad. It was a government program that I used to run like 15 years ago about how to get free government money. I can't find it for the life of me. Do you have something?
Because I've got, I mean, I had part of the, you know, how to use free money from the federal government to save thousands when you buy your first home.
I used to run that. Yeah, I used to run those in the Homes and Land, you know, like 15 years ago. Consistently did two of them as a lender, two deals
what
a month
really
as a lender.
Doing, what's really working well right now in Homes and Land magazine is the reverse mortgage ad.
But how does that benefit a realtor?
Well, people, they have to buy a home. So you're if you're working with a buyer who's over 62, they can buy a home, put 50% down, and live in it for the rest of their life with no mortgage payments. So that's a you know, that's a big appeal to people who, especially in higher priced areas, they don't want to like be forced out of the area, you know. But their equity, the money that they have, is they've spent their whole life in that house. They've you know, it's appreciated in value. It's the biggest piece of their net worth. But
mm-hmm.
the taxes and stuff, they don't, you know, they don't have the cash for their retirement. So there's that opportunity to, you know, buy, you know, sell their $600,000 house or their $700,000 house or whatever would be appropriate in your area there and buy, you know, take that money, and they could buy another sort of comparable house if they wanted to stay in the area or something slightly smaller, put 50% down and live in that house for forever, you know.
Okay.
But they have to buy homes. I mean, that's the whole thing. That's how it would benefit a realtor.
Got it.
Is once they're all excited, now it expands their horizons, you know?
I always just looked at that and went, that's a lender thing. So it had no benefit. So I glossed over it so fast without
right,
understanding
exactly.
it. So thank
no,
you for that.
Think about it as, a, you know, finding buyers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so going back to my original thought, running the same article, but trying to do it through Zillow or Trulia, see if I can get through their, you know, whatever their thing is, and then do like a Facebook boost also on something like this?
Yeah, I mean that, you know, certainly the Facebook post, you know, you can pick the right, pick the people that you, you know, the area, and
uh-huh.
do it just like a lifestyle type of thing, you know?
Okay. And is that document, can we manipulate it, or is it?
We have which one?
The one that you put up on the dashboard. Not the dashboard, but on a Facebook page.
The one I put up on the Facebook page, like the two, those are just pictures of those
okay.
to give you a thing about the story arc. So you would do it differently as a post on Facebook. And
got it.
Do it. Yeah, you would just have the picture and then have that headline, you know, and then when they click, they'll see the whole article.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will do. Hey, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And if you ever want to, see the back end of Zillow or Trulia, just
yeah.
contact me, and I'll give you. You can have at it, and I'm sure you can probably figure things out that probably make it a whole lot better than what they're doing. You know, I mean, you know, add your marketing genius to it would make a huge difference.
Awesome.
And once again, love your I Love Marketing. I think I'm at 163 now. It's just
oh, that's great. We just had one with John Paul DeJoria.
I listened to that one. Very good. Yeah,
and
great
just,
story.
I'm going to do another interview with Judy Robinette. Joe and I interviewed her. She just wrote a book on power networking, but it fits totally with our top 150 idea.
Very
I'm
cool.
I'm going to do a real estate specific interview with her too. But yeah, very cool. We're having such great time with I Love Marketing, so I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I do. I'm like I said, I'm 163 in. John Paul DeJournio. I mean, DeJournio. He was the last one I heard, and I got to tell you, it just inspiring. I mean,
he's great. Lots of energy for a 70-year-old guy.
70-year-old guy, yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, all the companies he runs, it's amazing.
Yeah.
No, thank you for doing that for us. And anyone that's on the call that's not listening to it, I think that's one of the best resources out there right now. It's motivating in many ways.
There you go. You heard it from the only realtor that Barbara Corcoran recommends in Tracy, California.
ILoveMarketing.com. Exactly.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks a lot, Dean. Have a good one.
You too. All right, guys. Well, that was great. I really think I think we made some good progress there. I just to get you thinking about those stories like that. So watch the Facebook group here, and we'll put up the progress from Dave and Deb and Ron. If you're working on them too, let's you know put up some of your stories so that we can all kind of learn the development process here as we go. And I'll be excited to share with you what's happening on Craigslist and on Facebook as we're doing them too. So there we go. That's it for this week. Have a great rest of the month, and I will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.